Well, good morning, ANCF. So, aren't you glad that winter finally came? I know some of you were worried that we wouldn't get a winter this year, and I came from Buffalo, New York, you know, so I look forward to snow. It reminds me of the Word of God that comes down from the heavens like snow. That's in the book of Isaiah, by the way. Okay. Well, we are pressing into one of our values through the Word of God, and that is the value of hospitality. Welcoming people in Jesus' name, particularly welcoming strangers in Jesus' name, opening our hearts and lives so that we might experience more of God flowing through us. And the way we're doing that is by looking at stories in the Bible of people who are hospitable and seeing how God worked in and through their lives. Last week, we talked about the story of a woman she lived in Shunem, so she's called the Shunammite woman. And we saw how she welcomed Elisha and how through that she received a son and then a resurrection from the dead. And it was an amazing story of seeing how she made room. She made a space in order to practice hospitality. She was a woman of means. She had money. She had a house. And so she decided to invest in making space so she could be hospitable. Today we're going to look at another story kind of on the opposite side. That is, someone who had very little. Someone who was in a difficult situation, and yet God also wanted her to practice hospitality. And so we're going to look at it because I think, some of us have the means and we need to be thinking about using what God has given us in order to practice hospitality. But some of us feel a lack, and some of us feel inadequate, and some of us feel like we don't have enough. And yet God would teach us through this woman today of how we can still practice hospitality. By the way, I wanted to give you a little follow-up because I think sometimes it's good in real time. You know, they have these reality shows, and people like reality shows to kind of follow along in people's lives. And each week you want to see what's happening in their lives. I don't like reality shows. I like reality, but not reality shows. But last week I shared with you the story of a person who newly arrived, a family that newly arrived, and how I was trying to urge them to allow me to serve them, and how that was challenging. Well, the good news is, you know, they called me last week and they said, Rich, or they actually sent me an email. They said, Rich, we would like your help this week. We would like you to help us register our daughter for school. So I thought, oh, I can do that. You know, that's pretty simple. So I picked them up and went to the school. And when they got there, the school person said, did you do the online registration? And he said, yes, I did. And she said, but I have no record that came through. And so we discovered by using my smartphone and going on to the site and looking for the registration that the registration was incomplete because there was information he didn't know how to fill out. So there on my smartphone with the connection going out, trying to fill in the registration information, what I thought would take a short time took a long time. And as it took a long time, I realized that I had other things in my schedule. And now it was getting close to, you know, not being able to meet the other obligations. And then after we were done, he said, oh, by the way, I have to go to the post office. Could you bring me to the post office? And I said, okay, I think I can squeeze that. And I thought to myself. So we stopped at the post office. And that procedure took a lot longer than expected because I had to help him with that part. We got up there and we were successful in sending the letter that he wanted to send. And then he said, oh, and I have some books in my car. I want to send those in the car. I want to send those books too. And I realized we're going to have to go back through the line again. And I said, wow, this is I was thinking to myself, yeah, this is good. I wanted to serve. I thought, I wanted to do this. I do want to do this. So anyway, that was the situation. And then they called me with a medical problem that, or a medical need that they had in their family. And so I was trying to help them with that this week. So, you know, if we are wanting to, God will give us the privilege. And I believe, so finally when I brought them to their house and dropped them off in this empty apartment, by the way, if anybody does have any furniture that you're not using that you'd like to donate, I'd love to help them get furniture in their apartment. They had absolutely nothing. And so I finally was able to say to them, do you know, I'm a follower of Jesus, and I'm praying for you because I want you to experience God's love. And that was my first just witness to them, to let them know that that was my desire, that they would experience God's love. So I'll follow along with the story as it develops and share it with you. Okay, well, the story today we're going to read is from 1 Kings chapter 17. Another woman who, we're not given her name. She's a widow. She lives in a city called Zarephath. Now, I like to read the scripture together with you, and I notice that some of you are a little sluggish in reading. So I'm going to have you stand today while we read the scripture. I don't know if you can read it from here. If you can't, if it's too far away, if you can't see it, go ahead and pull out your Bible or your smartphone and look up 1 Kings 17 and we'll read it together. Okay, so let's stand and read. If you can't see it, make up some words, but okay. No, don't do that. Ready? Let's begin. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him. Go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food. So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink? As she was going to get it, he called, and bring me, please, a piece of bread. As surely as the Lord your God lives, she replied, I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son that we may eat it and die. Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. But first make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, the jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land. She went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. Sometime later, the son of the woman who owned the house became ill. He grew worse and worse, and finally stopped breathing. She said to Elijah, what have you against me, man of God? Did you come to remind me of my sin and kill my son? Give me your son, Elijah replied. He took him from her arms, carried him to the upper room where he was staying, and laid him on his bed. Then he cried out to the Lord, Lord, my God, have you brought tragedy even on this widow I am staying with by causing her son to die? Then he stretched himself out on the boy three times and cried out to the Lord, Lord, my God, let this boy's life return to him. The Lord heard Elijah's cry, and the boy's life returned to him, and he lived. Elijah picked up the child and carried him down from the room into the house. He gave him to his mother and said, look, your son is alive. Then the woman said to Elijah, now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord from your mouth is the truth. Okay, let's pray.
Lord, thank you so much for the stories that you've written, the true experiences of people who've encountered you. And Lord, you are the same God as the time of Elijah. And you are a wonder-working God. And I pray today that you would come through this story to strengthen our faith and give us an increased vision for hospitality. And Lord, help us to see how we can move out and trust you for more. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So let's look at this story together. The first point is that God sent Elijah to the least likely person to practice hospitality. You know, the fact was, Elijah was in a situation where he was obeying God. He had declared the word of God in the land, and as a result of the wickedness that was in the country at that time, this was the time of the wicked King Ahab and the wicked Queen Jezebel, that God had stopped the rain from falling. There was a famine in the land. And first, Elijah had gone to this place called Kereth, and God had been supplying for him there, but then the supply dried up. And so God is giving him the next direction, and the direction is to go to a widow. Now, if you know anything about the culture at that time, you'll realize that widows were the most vulnerable people of their society. They usually depended on their family members to supply for them. Normally, if a widow had a son or a daughter, the children would supply for the widow. But this boy is young. He's not yet at the age where he can help his mom out. And we're told that, you know, she is in a desperate situation. She is down to her last meal. And so you would think that God would send him to a woman like was in Shunem. That if God was going to direct someone to provide hospitality for Elijah, it would be a woman who had a lot, not a woman who had her last meal. But we recognize that the ways of God are beyond us. God is wise because he not only wants to meet the need of Elijah. Yes, God wants to supply for the one who is walking in obedience to his word, but he also wants to supply for this woman. She doesn't know that yet, but this is the big picture. And so the fact when Elijah is told, go, I've commanded a widow to supply for you. Elijah might have said, wow, that's interesting. But the reality is God chooses the weak and the foolish things of this world to shame the strong and the proud. God wants to use those who are open to him to do his will. And so he chooses a widow to be the mean. You know, in my experience in life, actually, the people who excel in hospitality are not the people who have a lot, but the people who have a little. Over a long time throughout the world, we see that often those who are in poverty are more willing to share what they have than those who have a lot. If we want the teachers, if we want to learn how to do hospitality, let us look at those who, although with a little, say, I want to give it and share it and trust that I'll still have a provision. Now, as you know, I work with international students, and when I, through many experiences with students in experiencing hospitality, it has been the people who've experienced hospitality through those that are in need that are often most profoundly touched. When I brought some students to Niagara Falls, we stayed at host families in Buffalo, New York. And one of the students came and was talking about her host family. She said, you know, my host family is a single mom, and she's unemployed. And I know she doesn't have very much in her house, but she invited me in. And she was deeply touched because she knew that woman was sharing what little she had. I think about the woman who, by the way, it's interesting, a lot of women in these stories. I think there's something we can learn from the sensitivity of women in this area. God calls both men and women, but it seems like women are often sensitive in this area. I went to speak in a church, and I was talking about the need for hosting internationals and how there was such a big gap between the number of students who wanted a friend and the number of Christians who said yes. So as I spoke in that church and I challenged people then to make a decision that they would host, the first person who came up to me was a woman that I had been sitting near in the time of worship. I had noticed that next to her was a man in a wheelchair. And he was not able to function well. And in fact, it didn't look like he was very responsive. And she was the first person who came up and she said, "I don't know if God can use me. I'm a full-time caretaker for my husband who was in a severe automobile accident. He needs constant care. But if I can do something, I would like to do it." And I thought, wow, this woman is in a difficult life situation. If there's somebody who should say, I don't have time to do this, I don't have the means to do this, it would have been that woman. But she was the one who came forward. And then I think about the woman recently in Columbus who called me and said, "Rich, do you need a place to have your Bible study group?" And I said, "Actually, I do." And she said, "Well, you can use my house." And I went to meet her, and I discovered she was blind. And so I said I would help her get the house ready. It was an interesting experience because she had been trying to get the house ready by vacuuming and so forth. And I said, "Well, Mike, I can help." She said, "What did I miss?" I said, "Well, you missed a few of the, you know." She was a person who, you know, and you think about how many of us are concerned about what our houses look like. Well, she had an advantage. She didn't see what her house looked like. In the sense of, you know, her focus wasn't on what I'm trying to impress somebody. That wasn't what it was about. But again, you think about her disability and the fact that she wanted to serve. And so God is much more concerned about our willingness than how much we have and, you know, what our obstacles are in our life. And so he chooses a widow to provide for Elijah. And then second point is we see that God sent Elijah to the least likely place. This place, if we can see the map there, you can see Zarephath of Sidon is in the way northern part beyond Galilee where Jesus ministered. It's in an area of non-Jewish people referred to as Gentiles. It also happens to be the hometown of Jezebel, who was the person who hated Elijah. In fact, in the next, a little bit later in the chapter, we see that she wants to kill Elijah. So you would think that if God was picking a place for Elijah to go for hospitality, he wouldn't pick the place of his enemy. He wouldn't pick the place of the people who seem to have generally not a lot of faith in God. The Gentiles had not yet embraced the God of Israel. And interestingly, Jesus refers to this story, by the way, in his teaching. And what he says in Luke chapter 4, verse 25, he says, "I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time when the sky was shut for 3.5 years and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon." And Jesus was using this story to help them to understand that God is willing to use whoever is open to him, whoever will be obedient. And they didn't like that because the Jewish nation felt like, oh, we are, you know, privileged and special in some ways. And God was telling them, listen, even during the time of Elijah, God chose someone outside of the nation of Israel. And so God is surprising in the fact that he sends Elijah to a place outside of Israel. Okay, the third point. And this is, we're getting now into the heart here. God prepares others to meet our needs. Look at verse 9 again. "I have commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food." Interesting, before this, God had been also supplying for Elijah. But the way that he supplied for Elijah prior to this time was Elijah was in a private place. He was hidden away because the king was trying to kill him. And in that private place, God supernaturally supplied for him. There were actually birds, ravens, who came and would drop food to him. And what an amazing reality that God is able to supply, like he did for the children of Israel in the desert, when manna came down from heaven. God is able to supply food in a way that doesn't involve other people. He did that numerous times for the people when they were in the wilderness. He did it every day when they were in the wilderness. But here we see now God doesn't say, I'm going to keep doing that for Elijah. God moves him to the place where he says, I want someone else to be the means of supplying for your need. I'm telling someone else, I'm commanding someone else to be the means to supply for you. Now, brothers and sisters, it is a wonderful experience when God supernaturally sends manna from heaven. It is, you know that God is God. But it is just as much God when we work with our hands and we work in a job and God supplies for us. That is also a provision of God. And it also is God's provision when we have a need and God uses someone else to meet the need. And God wants that to be a means so that we become interdependent. It becomes a means of fellowship. It becomes a means of hospitality. It becomes a means by which we don't try to live lives by ourselves. You know, there are no self-made people in this world. There are only God-made people. If God didn't give us what we have in our life, if God didn't use other people in our life, we never could do what we do in our lives. And so God wants to bring Elisha to the place where a widow is going to supply for him, and so that he then could be the means of also blessing this widow. That is a beautiful thing that we need to see, that God wants us to be able to receive from others as well as give to others. Now, I'm sorry for those of you who've heard this story before. Maybe you've heard it two or three times, but it's just the best story for me that I can share from my own life to illustrate how this works. Now, it's very interesting. It says that this story says God commanded the widow. I have commanded a widow to supply for you. Now, how did God command the widow? That is, how did he speak to the widow? How did he tell this widow, you are to supply for Elijah? Did he tell her ahead of time and he'd been speaking to her, I'm going to send help to you, but I'm going to send someone to you, and when that person comes, I want you to feed them? That's possible. I've known of people who've gotten that type of direction from God. Was it in the moment when Elijah showed up and when he said, no, here's what God says, that she realized, oh, this is what God is saying to me? Doesn't matter either way, because she at some point recognized that it was God speaking to her to say, this is what I want you to do. So God will speak to people to prepare them. And God will speak to us, by the way, as well, that we are to be the ones to meet the needs of others. God wants us to be able to do that. So in my own life, when I have different needs, I've prayed to God, asked him to supply for those needs. And just one of those times was years ago when I needed a car. And at that point in time, I didn't have the funds necessary to buy a car. The car that I had become kind of dangerous. The door was falling off and a few other problems with the car. So it was, I said, God, we need a car. And so God then told me that I should go and ask a particular person for the car. Now, I don't know if you've ever had that experience before. When you get a thought like that, you don't, oh, God, thank you. My experience was, what? Like that was not my own thought that came into my mind. I wasn't trying to think, now, who can I go and ask for a car? I was only asking God, I need a car. And then the thought came, go and ask this person for a car. I said, oh. So I thought, God, is that really you speaking to me? Go and ask that person for a car. I said, okay, if that's you, God, it's going to be really good. But if it's not you, it's going to be really bad. You know? Oh. So I got my courage up, and on the day that I saw the person, I was looking at him across the room, and I said, oh, God, give me strength here to do this. So I had a little sweating, you know. And I went up to the person, and I said, God has sent me to ask you for something. And he said to me, I know what you're going to ask me for. Now, I had not told anybody, I didn't even tell my wife. I was like Abraham, I think, on the day that he was told to go and take Isaac and sacrifice him. I'm not sure he told Sarah on that day what he was doing. You know, I don't think that was, I'm taking my son off, we're going off to worship God. And I didn't tell my wife because I was afraid what she would think. So I just, no one knew what I was doing. So I said, what am I going to ask you? He said, you're going to ask me for a car. I said, how do you know? He said, well, because I have been praying to God. I have this car, and I've been asking God, who should I give the car to? And your name has been coming to my mind, but I kept thinking I'd like to give the car to my brother-in-law. He needs a car. But so I finally said to God, okay, God, if you want me to give the car to Rich Mendola, have him come and ask for it. So isn't that what you're doing? Aren't you coming to ask for a car? I said, yes. So he said, I got the key right here. Here's the key. He gave me the key. So it was like, okay, God had commanded him to give me a car. And God will command people to supply for us, and he will command us to supply for others. That is the reality of how God works. And it's a beautiful thing when we do that. Now, it's interesting that the way Elijah does it, by the way, first he says, get me a drink of water, which would have been common hospitality for anybody in that time to supply water for somebody, a guest. And then he says, by the way, also give me some food to eat. Now, that's the challenge that she came into. And, let me tell you one more story here, you know, how God supplies and commands. One of my friends that arrived this year from China is a student who came, and I believe God was starting to work in her life in China. But when she came and she arrived in Columbus, and I picked her up at the airport because my friends asked her to. My friends were meeting her in China. And I asked her what she was studying, and she told me the area of her study was to study social work and to study elderly people. That's what she wanted to do, is to work with elderly people. And so when I brought her to her host family, I realized I was bringing her to a retirement community. And I was bringing her to the home of a widow who had been, you know, her husband had died, but she was old. And I thought, God must have commanded this widow to supply for this person because this is the exact right match. And I felt like this is the way God works. He arranged that. That was, you know, just the perfect arrangement. And that is the way God works. It's so beautiful that he supplies for our needs in that way. Okay, number four. Okay, when God calls us to meet the needs of others, we can react with fear or faith. Look at the scripture there. You know, she says, hey, you're asking me for something that is so difficult. I only have one meal left. And what I'm going to do with that meal is I'm just going to share it with my son, and then we're going to die. So you're asking me something too difficult. The reason it was so difficult is because she could only see what she had. And she only had a little. The reality is we need to understand that God's economy is different than our economy. Our economy is only what we can see. God's economy is what he's able to supply, what he's able to produce in and through our lives. And we must react against a scarcity mentality. A scarcity mentality says, since this is all I have, that's all that God can do. If we're going to be people of faith says, God is able to do immeasurably more than all I can think or imagine according to his power. If we're not going to have a scarcity mentality, we've got to believe that God is able to accomplish his word, even if it means producing, creating the universe with his word. God is able. And the word of God strongly urges us to look at life differently. You know, when Paul talked about the Philippian church as being one of the churches that gave to him generously, this is what he wrote back to them. He said that, "And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." They weren't afraid to give to Paul's ministry because they understood that God was going to supply something back. In 2 Corinthians, the Corinthians were told, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all you need, you will abound in every good work." So this woman is being asked to give the little she has because God is able to supply something more. You know, Jesus tells some uncomfortable stories in the Bible. One of the stories he tells is when his disciples and him are at the temple, and there's another widow who goes up to the treasury, and she decides to give a gift to the Lord. And the gift that she gives is her last two pennies. And this woman is destitute. She is absolutely in poverty, and she still wants to give, and she gives, and Jesus uses that as an illustration to say, you see that woman? That woman is a true giver. Other people gave out of their excess. She gave all she had, and he points to her. Now, he doesn't tell the rest of the story. Do you think that woman went home and starved to death? Do you think that there was no provision for that woman? I believe that Jesus, in these principles that are there, that there must have been something that God did for that woman. Because she trusted and honored God in a way that expressed the type of faith that God loves, and God was going to act on behalf of that woman. I'd love to know the rest of the story, but I believe that based on this story and other stories in the scripture. So this woman is afraid. She is afraid to give her last meal. And in some sense, it's understandable. I mean, we ought to be sympathetic to this woman. She's in a desperate situation. She's down to her last meal. And yet, God often calls us in ways that cause us to depend on God in a way that's uncomfortable. Jesus put it this way, "Whoever seeks to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Jim Elliot said, "He is no fool to give up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." And faith involves risking. Faith involves the possibility that if God doesn't show up, we'll either be made a fool or we'll be losing something. But the Bible's telling us that we should overcome our fears. Now let's talk about some of the fears. This woman had a fear that she would not have enough. But there's many other fears in practicing hospitality. If you're going to welcome people in, if you're really going to do this, some people's fear are related to fears. Are they terrorists? Are they dangerous? Could they hurt us? Will I be able to understand them? Will they disrupt my schedule? Yes. Will they stay too long? What happens if I want them to go? Well, one person I know who practices hospitality, that person just goes to bed and says, "When you're ready, you can lock the door, you know." But I'm going to bed. There's a lot of things that we can be afraid of in our practice of hospitality. But the woman overcame her fear. She was courageous enough to move forward. And why? Because she heard the word of God and believed it. You know, let's put this down at the level of going from where we hear it theoretically to your own personal life. You know, sometimes when we hear the story like this, we're thinking about the widow. Now we need to be thinking about us. And we need to be thinking about where is it that I feel a lack. And I think for most Americans and most people living in the United States, the concern generally isn't on the monetary side. There is some that is a pressing thing, that for them to share a meal, for them to share what they have is going to cost them something. They are risking something. But for a lot of us, it has to do with our time. We're afraid that we don't have enough resources or enough energy to be able to sustain this type of life where we're giving and serving others and giving ourselves away. And the reality is, there's so many needs in this world that you will easily burn out if you try and meet all the needs. If you are constantly serving, that's not healthy. There's something not good about that. This widow was specifically commanded by God to do that. So the issue is, we need to listen to God, who He wants us to serve, and be willing to do it. But even so, it takes, you know, let's take energy. We all have different energy levels. We only have so much energy. Some of us have more energy than others. But whatever energy you have, you say, okay, if I use up this energy on this, it's gone. You know, I'm going to be so tired. But God has a way of even increasing our strength. You know, He makes the weary to be able to walk and to run. And I'm not trying to get you like to just burn out. But I am trying to get us to see that we don't want to limit ourselves just by what we have. God is able to increase it. He's able to increase our energy. He's able to increase our time. He's able to increase our resources if we act in obedience to Him when He shows us what to do. Okay, let's look at this last point here. Obedience to hospitality leads to provision and prosperity. Look at this, what happened. You know, the Word of God comes to her and tells her, don't be afraid, because God actually wants to supply for you. If you give what you have, God is going to make it so that you have enough flour and enough oil to keep making more bread. This is not going to be your last meal. Wow, what a beautiful thing. That a testimony was going to be built for her and her family and for all generations. You know, this is really, you want to know what the abundant life is that Jesus promised? The abundant life is where you have the presence of God, where you have the experience of God's love, where God supplies for you in a way that you know He's real, that He loves you. It's not about more and more things. This woman had what she needed every day, but along with what that was, the supernatural provision of God, she knew God was real. That's what we want most of all, is we want to know God. And so she's having that experience. She's having the abundant life through her obedience to the Word of God. Not only that, but she experiences the power of God. Just like in the other story we read last week about the Shunammite woman, her son also becomes ill and dies. And when that happens, she questions. She has a struggle again. She says, hey, why did this blessing come to me? Why did you sustain our lives if the only purpose was so that I would experience this loss? But God shows up. And through the prayer of Elijah, the boy is resurrected to life. And she then says, wow, I really know the Word of God is true. I really know it now. Resurrection power. Would you like to experience more of God's power in your life? You know, the last two stories we've read are tremendous stories of power. One of the ways we open our lives to the power of God is through the practice of hospitality. That's what God is trying to teach us through these stories. If we serve, open our lives to others, welcome them in, practice this, we're giving God the opportunity to show up with provision and power, where we can have a testimony to be able to share with others, that when we share the little bit that we have, that God can multiply it. Wow, what an encouragement for us to step out in faith. what an encouragement for us to be able to say, God, can you do for me what you did for the widow as I obey you? Again, I just want to remind you, this doesn't mean just going and doing anything. This means being sensitive to God's Spirit, that when He tells you, I'm commanding you to be the one to serve this person, to open your home now, to invite this person in, then you respond. Of course, being open and listening to the voice of God is critical in this. All right, so here's our story then. A widow in the town of Zarephath who opens her home, overcomes her fears, and experiences God's provision and power. So let's go ahead and pray.